He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday, the midweek edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner. On this January the 14th, the markets are all down today. I think something's brewing maybe in Iran, as we are evacuating some people out of the area. And it seems like Trump has promised to come to the aid of these people that are being crushed over there. The NASDAQ is down 281, and I got to believe that the political turmoil is having something to do with that. The NASDAQ is down 282 to 23,426. The Dow is down 197 after hitting a new all-time high here on Monday. It's at 48,994. The S&P is down 53 points right now to 6910. And the stalwart through it all has been gold and silver, and they continue to sparkle today. Gold is up another 0.5%. It's at 4,624 per ounce. Silver's up 5.5%. Believe it or not, silver is at $91.07 per ounce. That's just an amazing run in silver. Crude oil is up today, too. It's up almost 1% to $61.67. And the other one that's been perking up here is Bitcoin. More on that in a bit. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only firm with the Best Stocks Now show heard in about a dozen markets right now. And we recently were added to the Phoenix lineup for Salem. And Dallas coming very, very soon, which I am really glad to be back in Dallas again. We had a great time. Just going to the Heart 8 Barbecue, Barry, was worth the trip for me to Dallas every couple times per year.
Right,
and to the Pecan Lodge. That was another good one. There's some good barbecue there. Some good brisket. We'll call that the brisket part of our annual tour of America.
And the beef rib. You got it. The beef rib is.
Yeah. And the pinto beans. There's nothing better than a big bowl of pinto beans. The Dow was down a little bit yesterday. The NASDAQ was down a little bit. Gold continues to sizzle. Silver continues to sizzle. And I did notice yesterday some activity in the oil stocks, which have been asleep, like Rip Van Winkle. They've been asleep for the last decade, really. Not much happening in the oil patch as oil meanders in that high $50 per barrel range. But with what's going on in Venezuela and with what has gone on in Venezuela and continues to go on there, and what is going on now in Iran, where it almost seems like it could happen any day. We're going to wake up or we're going to get a breaking news that we're bombing something in Iran to help the people overthrow the evil regime that has been leading them for so long.
And we've been evacuating some person, you know, some personnel from from bases over there in preparation potentially for that. So yeah, it seems like this is going to come to a head at some point.
Yep.
Pretty quickly.
And what's that have to do with the stock market and your investments and your IRA and your college funds and your Roth and your 401k at work? It has a lot to do with it. And you know, it's the old adage, it's the unknown. It's the unknown. How desperate are those leaders in Iran? What will they resort to stay in power? They've had a grip on that country for a long time. Will Russia come to their aid? I think that's a very distinct possibility. Will Russia take in the leaders, you know, as exiles? They're buddy-buddy, Russia and Iran. So It's not good. I watched several oil stocks, and I sent out 7 names that I saw yesterday breaking out. Liberty Energy, LBRT, and, of course, the former CEO of Liberty is now our energy secretary. EFXT is another oil stock that's been on the move here recently. Forum Technologies, FET. Precision Drilling. That's important in the oil business. You don't want to miss. PDS. Suncor out of Alberta. I'm not sure why the Canadian oil sand stock is moving, but it was moving. And I noticed Halliburton was on the move yesterday, too, HAL. And the other thing I've noticed moving, and I can't believe that there's not some kind of a link to all of a sudden all this activity in Bitcoin and what's going on in Iran. I think there's a lot of dark money that moves
leaving something going on there into Bitcoin.
It's right. Woken up Bitcoin all of a sudden. Bitcoin's up 3,100, 94,000. It hasn't been that high in a while. And, of course, when things get rough in the world, there's a lot of movement in the gold and silver markets, and that's been going on now for quite some time. Also, with fear of our Fed losing their independence from the executive branch, it's just unbelievable, this move. And, of course, we have two of the 21 positions in our premier growth portfolio taken up by gold holdings. One is a gold ETF, which has done very well for us, and the other is Barrick Gold, the number one gold mining company in the world, which not only is a proxy for the price of gold, but also controls a lot of the reserves in the world. And, of course, the other big gold stocks, such as Newmont Mining and AU and Anglo Gold and others, continue to sizzle. And silver is just up and away. Remember, the Lone Ranger used to yell to his white horse, "Hi-ho, silver, away!" And off she'd go, and the Lone Ranger in his mask. It wasn't a COVID mask. It was just covered his eyes. It
just covered the eyes.
Made him look a little bit more imposing, an imposing figure on top of that white stallion. But anyway, silver has also, it surges past $90 for the first time. And here again I say, you don't have to have a lot of money to be an investor of sorts in the market, you know. Hey, maybe you've got some gold coins sitting around that you've been collecting, or, you know, some little, maybe you've bought some of these American Eagle gold coins. And, you know, at one time, silver was $16, maybe $20 an ounce, and you could buy a one-ounce silver coin, which you can hold in your hand, which you can't do with Bitcoin. That's one of my arguments against Bitcoin. Silver, $90 per ounce. Now, that's just incredible. And I see that Citigroup, I don't know how you set a price target other than looking at the supply-demand equation somehow and the chart. Citigroup sets a price target on gold of $5,000 per ounce and on silver, $100 per ounce. Wow. And I would just say that the gap between, you know, silver used to trade at a certain percentage of gold.
Right.
And it has narrowed that gap considerably here recently, and the world's on fire right now. What can I say? You've got three big hot spots in the world, we'll call it. Number one right now, Iran. And, you know, yesterday the leadership of Iran said, oh, we've got it under control. Yeah. We've controlled the blood. You know, when I watched the news last night, I said, no, you don't have it under control. You're losing control of this situation. And, of course, I watched an interview with the former way back in the late 70s. He hasn't been back to Iran since his father was deposed in the late 70s.
That's the Shah's son, right?
It's the Shah's son. I watched an interview with him, and he's saying, you know, the U.S. has promised to help with this. There was a point in Obama's administration where they were having a big revolution in Iran, and he didn't come to their aid. and the you know, the evil regime was able to maintain their grip on Iran. But this time it looks like something's going to happen. And it's that fear of the unknown, that fear of the unknown in a very dark country that has wanted nuclear weapons for so long. Will they be trucked into Iran under the ground? I don't know. There's a lot of unknowns out there. But anyways, Trump has told Iranian protesters that help is on the way. And it's not, what was the song? Hang On, Help is on the Way. I think that was an Australian band. I think it was the Little River Band. It won't be the Little River Band showing up in Tehran. It could be some U.S. missiles and maybe Delta forces. We'll just have to see. And in the meantime, the market is quivering and shaking a little bit here today. We'll be right back. To the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. A little bit of a nervous day, I would call it, on Wall Street. We do have some earnings reports that we'll get to here in a bit. But anytime you have something, a powder keg, a tinder box. Now, I remember where I was when the Shah fell. I was living in San Diego, and I remember the line down the street. And I remember that I had a license plate that ended with an odd number instead of an even number. And it was my day to get gasoline, to get in line for an hour, 2 hours during the Iran oil embargo. And you sat in line, Barry, for an hour and a half, 2 hours to fill your tank with that precious petrol gasoline so you could get to work. Now, a lot has changed since then. But it's still, you know, it's a very influential. There's 100 million people, I believe, that live in Iran, rich oil fields.
A lot of oil that goes through.
A lot of terror has come out of Iran over the years, too.
And a lot of oil through the straits right there. I mean, it's a big shipping lanes. I mean, there's a lot of
the Straits of Hormuz, yes. I mean, so that's why the markets are taking a step back today. To wait and see, but it almost seems inevitable that we're going to get breaking news at some point that there's some kind of action going on over there. In the meantime, Iran is warning their neighbors of retaliation. Of course, Qatar was the country that was being evacuated, and I'm sure Qatar, we have bases, airfields in Qatar. We used them in the you know, Desert Sands war, and I'm sure Qatar is. I'm sure there's a lot of the Arab nations would love to see the regime in Iran fall, and I'm sure Israel would too. So, anyways, will there be retaliation? Starlink offering free internet in Iran. Now, I was thinking about that last night. I have Starlink here at my home. It's my backup of my backup, just in case, you know, everything goes down, the cellular internet, the, you know, the AT&T internet. And then I have Starlink, which points to the stars up there on my balcony. And I was thinking, how hard is it to have that dish in Iran without being discovered? But, you know, what I was thinking, this AST Space Mobile, where you can pick up satellite through your iPhone. I wonder if that's available. You don't need the dish, I don't believe. You just your phone has a receiver in it, right? Am I wrong about that?
I think that's how it was described when they kind of announced it. So yeah, you know, you shouldn't. I mean, I don't think you need the old satellite or sat phone to make it. You know, I'm not sure about that.
I'm sure you got to have a receiver of some sort to receive those signals from space. Maybe it's much like Starlink, where you have to have the dish that's picking up, you know, the signals from the satellites. But anyways, there's obviously some video getting out because I watched a lot of it last night unfolding, a lot of fires, a lot of things burning, U.S. flags being flown all over the place in Iran, which is
unusual. That's a change. It used to get burned.
It used to burn the flags.
Right. But it's, you know, I mean, when you look at it on a map in terms of, where all of the protests and uprising is occurring, I mean, it's
all
it's
over the country.
Widespread, the whole country, right?
I don't see how they get that under control. U.S. budget deficit narrows in December. Well, that's good news. Last year at this time, we were in the hole by $700 billion. This year at this time, we're only in the hole by $600 billion. I think our year end is in September, on September 30th. So we're 4 months into the year, the fiscal year for the U.S. We're narrowing the gap, and most of that gap is being narrowed by the tariffs, which could, by the end of this week, we could have a ruling on that. That's another big unknown for the market right now. What kind of chaos could that create, for the government? In the meantime, I've been watching the defense stocks moving. The U.S. took a big position in LH Harris, LHX. And I've been watching HYY really break out to new highs. That's Huntington Ingalls, which is just to the north of us. I believe it's in Norfolk, Virginia. Their main thing is shipbuilding and submarines, but they're also in on this missile defense shield contract. And that stock's been breaking out, too. And, you know, I'll tell you another stock that was breaking out yesterday, Intel. And this is the first time with a government backstop, well, not a backstop, but an investment. We didn't give Intel money. We just didn't just write them a check, here's money, like the CHIPS Act did.
Right, yeah.
We took an investment in Intel. And Intel stock, even though they're a long ways from a comeback and getting back into the game, the stock is breaking out to new all-time highs. And the other one that had a very good day yesterday was AMD, which is miles ahead of Intel at this point in time. But, of course, Intel has gotten investments from not only the U.S. government, but from NVIDIA. Yeah. And that's another conundrum there. That whole NVIDIA situation, Barry, U.S. formally clears NVIDIA H200 AI chips with some conditions. And in the meantime, China's custom agents are told not to allow where is the truth? I don't know on this. We've heard from Jensen Huang that they're getting a lot of orders from China for the H200 chip, but we're getting diverging stories out of China and from the U.S. on whether or not. And NVIDIA's stock.
They may have got some orders, but they may not be able to deliver them. You know,
maybe not. Maybe their agents over there are said not to let them enter the country. So you've got that old thing. And NVIDIA stock has really kind of come to a halt for now in the 180 area. NVIDIA is not over by any stretch of the imagination. But this whole China thing has definitely kind of thrown it into a little bit of an unknown territory, whether or not NVIDIA's market share went from a big market share in China to zero. They have 0% market share in chips in China. And in the meantime, China's trying to develop their own chips to compete with NVIDIA. So that's where that all sits right now. We continue to own NVIDIA. It's one of the best stocks we've ever found. One of the biggest winners that we've ever found. And we continue to think that there's more left in the tank at NVIDIA. Mortgage applications surged. Hey, that's good news. 6.18 is where the 30-year is right now. And, you know, I think that the Fed went in, or the Treasury went in, was buying mortgage bonds, and that drove rates down under, it was 6.25 last week. Now we're down to 6.18. So at least home loans are becoming a little bit more affordable if you can get one and if you can find a home. But anyways, we did have a surge last week in the mortgage applications. Okay, when we come back, Wow, we got a lot to talk about yet. Yeah, we've got a lot of earnings and this whole memory thing. Wait till you hear the new price target on SanDisk.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show, where we've got a sell-off going on in the market, but it's been hitting new all-time highs here recently. Of course, the Dow's closing in on 50,000. Gold is closing in on 5,000. Silver is closing in on, it's 91.85 today. Can silver see $100 per ounce? That's just incredible. And you've got the S&P closing in on 7,000. But we've got this sell-off today as there's a big unknown out there. I would just say Iran's a lot scarier. Venezuela's a scary country with the drug lords and the paramilitary groups and everything else you've got over there. But Iran is even scarier with its ties to China and
state-sponsored terrorism.
State-sponsored
as well.
Terror. I mean, So anyways, that's got the markets on edge today. That's just the way it is, and we'll just have to see. Venezuela was quick and decisive, and life went on. The markets went on to hit new highs. But right now we're in a vortex of not knowing what's going to happen next. We do know this. SanDisk, Bernstein doubles the price target on SanDisk. Now, SanDisk, I'm not sure. They went private for quite some time. And then they came back on the public markets. I don't know if this was a... what's the one out of Japan? SoftBank? A SoftBank deal?
Oh, yeah, right.
But somebody took them private, and, I've bought plenty of little SanDisk chips over time for cameras and different GoPro, whatever the case may be. The data, I remember when data storage got down to flash memory, SanDisk came public at $27 a share last year. And I thought, boy, that's weird that SanDisk is coming back as a public company. And their main competitor, they're the main competitor to Samsung and to Micron with the memory chips. And we should have been all over that IPO when they went public again. Because from 27, here we are a year later, a little over a year later, it's at 391. So think about it. You could have went on Robinhood, all you driving around out there thinking, I can't afford to invest in stocks. You could have bought 10 shares of SanDisk for $270 at Robinhood. There's no minimum there. And it'd be worth $3,900 today. Okay, that's not too bad. But here's the amazing thing. SanDisk in 2025 made $3 per share, $3 per share in profit, in earnings. And if you don't believe me that stocks follow earnings, just listen to this. SanDisk earnings this year are going to go to $13.28. Okay, that's a quadrupling of earnings, and of course the stock is quadrupled, and then some. Why? Because next year, SanDisk is expected to make $23 per share. So from $3 per share to $13 per share to $23 per share, if you just stick a 20 multiple, okay, that's a good starting point on any stock, just 20, just use 20. You had a $60 stock, 20 times 3 in 2025, This year, you've got a $13 times 20, a $260 stock, but that's already been priced in. The market is now looking ahead to 2027, just like it is on all of the stocks out there. You've got $23 per share. If you stick a 20 multiple on that, that's a $460 stock. And it's currently trading at $391. There's a lot of logic to all of this, okay? So now you've got Bernstein's analysts upping the target price from $300 to $580. So he obviously thinks the stock can trade at a little more than a 20 multiple, and I would agree with that. And why is this unprecedented NAND shortages? That's the DRAM memory, the flash memory, and price increases. Now, I've been talking about this for a long, long time, about how I had a friend that builds computers for people, friends on the side, and he told me, Bill, it used to cost me $70 for memory. Now it's $210, and this was several months ago. If you can get it. And
if you can get it, yeah.
And so anyways, that's what's going on, and that's why it's not only that, it's Western Digital, it's Seagate Technologies, it's Samsung, it's Micron, it's all of the above that are just going nuts because of this huge demand, not only in electricity, not only from space and storage and buildings for these data centers, but also for all the little pieces that make up the guts of what's inside these data centers, including air conditioning. And I noticed that A.O. Smith was breaking out again today to new highs. It's an air conditioning stock. So there's an update on the whole memory situation. No relief in sight. The other company, I don't know how they're going to get the planes made. They got another order. Boeing on Tuesday said Delta Airlines placed its first direct order for its 787 Dreamliner, which is built right here in South Carolina, about 20 minutes from my house, to update its long-haul fleet and support international operations. So, you know, they are booked up for several years at Boeing. I'm going to send an email to my friend at Boeing today. I've got somebody that wants to get a job at Boeing. I'm sure the job opportunities, I'll give you a report when I hear back from him what it's like. But I met a kid, college graduate, or working for a local steel company. I said, not making very good money. And I said, I'm going to look into what the situation is at Boeing right now. They got to be hiring. I know they're hiring. They're going to double the size of the plant. And I will say this. Is it reflected in the stock of Boeing? Look at a chart of BA, which is in the Dow, member of the Dow. It's probably one of the most vibrant charts in the Dow right now, as other charts look horrible. I'll tell you a couple that look. Now let's go to the other side of the coin, and this is the beauty and the how valuable it is to look at these charts every day. Yesterday I saw AT&T and Verizon, two of my most hated stocks, because there's no growth. Without growth, there's no growth in earnings. Without growth in earnings, there's no upside potential other than big fat dividends that both of these companies pay. Both of those stocks are breaking down to new lows. Okay, this is what's underneath the surface that the average person doesn't see. That's all they know is their guy at Merrill Lynch or their guy or gal at Raymond James or at anyone. Name your Wall Street firm. Has got you in Verizon and AT&T as they're breaking down and hitting new lows. And as Boeing and others are breaking out and hitting new highs. Okay, that's very important to be in the right areas of the market at any given point in time and not to be in the duds of the Dow out there. And I'll tell you another sector that's getting taken apart, Barry, the software sector.
Yeah, you mentioned that in your note yesterday.
Oh, yesterday, Salesforce is just getting it's in the Dow. CRM is in the Dow. ServiceNow is breaking down to new lows. Oh, my gosh, Adobe's chart looks horrible. And all of our Silicon Valley listeners, you know what a big player Adobe is. You know what a big player ServiceNow is and Salesforce, Mark Benioff. Those stocks are breaking down and hitting new lows. And that's not a good space to be in at all right now. Even though the NASDAQ is doing just fine, it's the chip stocks that are driving the NASDAQ. And I would also say this, every time I've started to see big sell-offs in the software sector, the NASDAQ's getting ready for a correction. That's something to keep in the back of your mind. Now, it's not doing it yet. It's down today, obviously, and the chip stocks are propping up the NASDAQ. But it's a little bit worrisome to see big stocks like AT&T, Verizon, Salesforce, ServiceNow, Adobe, HubSpot breaking down. Their charts are breaking down. That's not good. That's going on underneath the surface of the market. What else is going on underneath the surface of the market? Earnings, earnings, earnings. And the lithium stocks when we come back. Back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. The other area of interest in the market right now, lithium stocks definitely are getting a lift once again. Albemarle, which is ALB out of North Carolina, and SQM, not anywhere near North Carolina. In fact, they're down in Chile. SQM has also been breaking out. Lithium Americas. I want to say Lithium America, LAC, is the one that our government invested in because they also have some exposure to rare earth. And, of course, MP Materials, and I believe Lithium America, LAC, is very close to MP Materials geographically in the Nevada area. But the lithium stocks, lithium, and they're blaming it on or giving credit to the need for lithium batteries for these robots they're building. Remember when we were in Santa Clara, Barry, we drove right by the Tesla plant there along the freeway, and we met with the guy that actually works in that plant building robots.
Building the robots, yeah.
Yeah, he said his boss is a robot, and he works with robots all day. You know, you can't talk sports or politics or anything. They're just kind of doing their job and not bothering anybody, I suppose, but... Anyways,
they don't need a lunch break either.
No, or health insurance, or paid time off, maternity leave, whatever the case may be. Oppenheimer downgrades Adobe to perform. Man, I'll tell you what, I'm just shocked at the breakdown in those stocks. I even went so far, and even Microsoft, which is probably the biggest software company in the world. Palantir is holding on, but you know it's hard to think that Palantir and CrowdStrike won't get dragged down by the sell-off in software, which may get the NASDAQ caught up in it also. The whole tech sector could get caught up in the sell-off in software. I think that the budget, I think with all of this money going to AI, and maybe there's not as much budget and money to go to the software vendors.
And those companies are more, you know, in terms of disruption, right, with AI, those, you know, software companies are in a position to potentially be the most disrupted, right, because you can, you know, write code faster. You could have, you know, some other software platform come along and replace some of these big stalwarts at some point. So.
Yeah. So anyways, I even went so far as to see if there was an ETF that goes inverse. Just specifically the software sector, there isn't. According to Grok, And according to Gemini 3, and according to ChatGPT, I checked all three of them. I didn't know of one myself. It seems to me that maybe one of the individual software stocks, I'm thinking maybe Salesforce, has an inverse ETF on it, just that stock. But obviously PSQ is inverse the NASDAQ. That would be the way if the entire tech sector gets caught up in this software sell-off, which generally speaking, when the software stocks go, the NASDAQ's kind of in trouble. It's gone up. It had a good year last year. The chip stocks for now and the AI stocks are holding it up. Atlas Shrugged. Can it hold up the whole world? How about Camping World and Costco getting together? If you drive a RV off of, are they going to have an RV in the parking lot at Costco that you
yeah,
can drive?
Right?
And are they going to check your receipt and mark it off, with a yellow highlighter that makes sure you paid for it before you drive off with it? That's our friend Marcus Lemonis.
Yep.
Camping World has rallied more than 19% so far this year. Costco has also been in a little bit of a rally mode here after a steep sell-off, but those two are going to get together. What else? I know they were selling gold coins at Costco there. That would have been a good thing. Don't tell me you can't afford to invest. How much are you paying for all of your – what's your average shopping cart? What do you pay? You could have thrown in a gold coin instead of that latest TV. From Costco. Honeywell has got a quantum company that it's going to spin off. Okay, Honeywell needs to do something. It's been Honey Not Well.
Yeah, talk about the different. Think about GE. Remember, GE and Honeywell were kind of very similar,
yes,
in terms of a conglomerate that that started to kind of dismantle its parts, and of course GE has just blown up in a good way. And Honeywell is still kind of that same story that they've had for 15 years now.
Negative returns for Honeywell. It's been a dog. I didn't know it was headquartered in Charlotte, North Carolina.
I had no idea. I did not know that.
Which is becoming a pretty big hub for a lot of very good businesses, I would say. Saks Fifth Avenue files for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, secures $1.75 billion financing. It'll probably be a private debt deal that they'll then turn around and sell through the private debt markets. Some poor guy at one of these big firms that's private credit. No thanks. I would not loan Saks Fifth Avenue money.
And of course, they
took over Neiman Marcus. Two bad companies getting together equal one big bad company. And they're both in big, big trouble. That's where that is. Coca-Cola's getting a new CEO. They need more than that. That's another dead stock. I hate to say it about these American icons, but they're not growing anymore. And it takes earnings growth to make your company more valuable to investors. A multiple on earnings. Just pick a multiple. Coca-Cola 20 would be a good start. Go look at Coke's earnings last year, this year, next year, apply a 20 multiple, and you'll have a good idea of what those shares are worth. And then compare those shares with where they're trading at now. And in the app, look up the 10-year returns of Coca-Cola, the 5-year returns, the 3-year returns. That's critical. We do that for horses at the racetrack. We look up their track record. We look up baseball players when they step up to the plate. The same thing should be done for any stock that you own in your portfolio or considering owning in your portfolio. Well, we're out of time. We didn't get to Citigroup, Bank of America, and Wells Fargo all reported earnings today. We own one of those stocks. It's one of the 21 stocks we own in that premier growth, very select portfolio. If you'd like to get 4 weeks of the newsletter, the live alerts, access to the app, go to GundersonCapital.com. There's no obligation. There's no credit card that you have to enter. If you'd like to set up an appointment with us about our portfolios and putting together a plan for you. 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.